Well, we're somewhat isolated from the real world because we our only business is serving the services. So we're kind of immune to what's going on in the wider world. Having said that, what is going on in the wider world is affecting the forces. You know, cuts in LOA for people in various locations has an impact on us because that's their discretional spend that they can't spend in our stores. But from a pay-as-you-dine perspective, I still maintain that we run the best pay-as-you-dine in the British Army. And as a business, I think overall we're still in good shape.
I mean, you say you're immune to it, but I mean, you've still got to have logistics, you've still got to move freight around, petrol costs, and your suppliers are probably charging you more as well. Is it possible, because I know you give back your money to the British forces, is it possible for you to give back slightly less to compensate for that if you are getting on hard times or not? How does that work?
Well, our business is a not-for-profit organisation. You're absolutely right to pick up on that. And what we have to do all the time is balance how much profit we're creating with the service that we're generating. And when we do start to make profits, we just simply invest back in the service that we're doing. So, for example, we're bringing prices down on lots of household staples wherever we are, and we have been doing that now for the last 18 months. If things get a little bit tight because if we have to pay more for fuel or whatever, then we just have to just readjust that balance slightly. So it's a constant balancing act for us.
The last time we spoke, and we spoke briefly about Cyprus, which I know is a slight open wound for you, but you told me that it was your aim to ensure that NAFI became more and more customer-focused. Is that an aim that you're happy you're achieving now?
It's a really good point, and it's a really difficult thing to do is to crack customer service, because it sounds easy to, you know, we should just give better customer service, but the reality is, how do you make that happen with 1,500 employees in various locations around the world? And it's a difficult thing to do. I think, though, that I'm delighted to be able to say it, I think we are making progress. I think we've started to invest in the customer by having customer service champions in parts of our business, for example, whose job is to really do nothing other than ensure that we give good customer service. And I think the culture of the organisation is starting to change. And I think, and I hope, that some of our customers would have seen that.
At 8,000 miles away from home, I mean, NAFI is probably more of a lifeline here in the Falklands than a lot of places. How much of a problem does that 8,000-mile gap cause you?
In reality, it does cause us a problem because, and it's not so much the distance, it's the time. The time it takes for goods to get here. It just means that we can't be as responsive to surges in demand and seasonality as we would be in other locations like Germany, for example. But I think now we've just installed a new EPOS system, you know, an electronic tilling system. Our control of our data should be much better. We should be able to have much more visibility about what's selling and what's not selling and therefore be more responsive. So I'm hoping over the next year things will improve.
I know this new till system is very important to you, and that's new on the horizon. Anything new on the horizon for NAFI?
NAFI has got really to a point now that I don't think we need to invest in anymore. We've now got a good tilling system. We now should have all the data that we need to be able to manage our business most effectively. I think the die is now set for the next 10 years. We can do what we need to do with what we've got, and I don't want to put any more money into anything else other than the service that we offer.